And then we developed very sophisticated imaging technology so we could look at subcellular resolution, what's going on. So that's the approach I've described to you. And the question we have tried to ask is, for nearly two decades of my research, I tried to understand what is the nature of the tumor microenvironment. What do the blood vessels look like? How do they function, or how do they malfunction? What about the matrix? Why is it normal? Why is it abnormal? So those are the questions I asked. And over the last decade, we began to try to fix those problems with the hope that we can now improve the delivery. And as you know of our work on normalization, and perhaps we'll get into that later on, what we're trying to do is make the abnormal microenvironment of the tumor more normal-like so we could deliver drugs. And more importantly, when the drugs arrive, they work better, improve the efficacy. That's really the goal.
What were your thoughts as you saw the clinical data evolve in the field of, quote, anti-angiogenesis, and particularly the fact that in colon, breast, and lung cancer, at least bevacizumab seemed to work better with chemotherapy?
And worse than that, I think it doesn't work alone. I mean, if you look at the colorectal trial, there was one arm at one point in that trial which had monotherapy with bevacizumab. And apparently the outcome of that was worse than with chemotherapy alone. So that's really perked up my interest also. I mean, I was working in this field independent of that particular combination clinical trial. But Neil, as I was working on this, in a way, in our laboratory, we were working on anti-angiogenesis therapy in parallel with improving drug delivery. And in 1996, I published a paper in PNAS where we had given bevacizumab to tumors growing in these windows in mice. And if he had come to my lab in 1996, I had believed that perhaps bevacizumab alone or drugs such as that would make a difference in the treatment. It was a very naive thinking at that time in 96, because to destroy the blood vessels of tumors completely takes more than blocking just VEGF. We did not know that in 96, or we at least did not want to know that. Let's put it this way. And we have very simplistic thinking at that time that just anti-VEGF antibody alone will just destroy the vasculature. What we learned in our study was that it does reduce the vessel density, but the blood vessels come back. There's a second wave of angiogenesis, and that leads to tumor relapse. So that suggested that somehow we had to kill the source of angiogenic molecules, whether they are VEGF, FGF, IL-6, IL-8, you name it. And that means you have to kill cells. And how do you kill cells? Right now, the only way we know it is by cytotoxic therapy, whether it's chemotherapy or radiation. So as we were doing this work, in parallel, this clinical, preclinical and clinical papers were coming out, Neil, showing that combination of anti-VEGF therapy with chemotherapy was working better. And to me, that looked like a paradox. Because you need blood vessels for chemotherapy to be delivered. You need blood vessels for oxygen, for radiation therapy, and for a lot of chemotherapeutic agents, you need oxygen. And so how can you destroy the vessels with Avastin or bevacizumab or other agents like that and expect better outcome? So that led to this idea in my head that perhaps instead of destroying the blood vessels of the tumor completely, we were destroying some vessels and repairing the rest so they become more normal-like. And that's when I wrote formally a paper in 2001, a commentary in Nature Medicine, and the calling that the whole normalization hypothesis was formally put forward in 2001, even though I had evidence for that in preclinical studies in 98. In my 98 PNAS paper, we showed that if you remove testosterone from testosterone-dependent tumors, you lower VEGF, similar to giving bevacizumab. And what we noticed was that the blood vessels begin to become straighter, narrower, more normal. They develop more normal phenotype. So in 98, in my first paper, I wrote that blocking VEGF, perhaps the tumors develop a normal phenotype in their vasculature. But I needed some more data before I could formally propose that. And we did some work with Herceptin. We are showing the same thing. Except Herceptin were doing it in a different way. Herceptin was not lowering VEGF, but it was upregulating thrombosponin, which is an endogenous anti-angiogenic molecule. So that's when I had this sort of visual picture in my mind that the tumor vessels are abnormal because you have an abundance of pro-angiogenic molecules, and a paucity of endogenous antiangiogenic molecules such as thrombosponin.